Welcome to the Last Round MMA.
The guy's never beaten me. In order to be the champion, you have to beat the champion.
A podcast for the MMA fan.
Imagine that. Look at everybody up here. They're all dressed like me. They're all trying to talk like me. They're all trying to be me.
Bringing you in-depth interviews and more from across the MMA world.
This is like pride. You know, everybody's here. I feel great. And, you know, I can't wait. Saturday night, I'm going to crush this guy hype.
Are you ready? Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Last Round MMA. And today we have Liam Wilson from King of the Streets and Bare Knuckle. Thanks for joining me, Liam.
No worries, man. Thank you for the time.
Right. No better place to start than at the beginning. So, Liam, where did you grow up and how did you get into combat sports?
So, like, I grew up just a place called Wallasey, just outside of Liverpool. But I was never into martial arts back then when I was a kid and stuff like that. So I only started getting into martial arts when I was 27 years old. So after I did 5 years in the army, I went back home for a while and then was in and out of jobs, didn't know what to do like with my life. And so then I ended up moving away from England, ended up being like a ski guide and like a holiday rep for a couple of years between the French Alps and Gran Canaria. So I spent like some summers, some winters out there. And then I ended up moving to Sweden. And then that's when I started like my martial arts like career, as you say. So until then, until I moved to Sweden, I'd never stepped foot in like a martial arts gym before. So
growing up, near Liverpool, are you a blue or a red?
I'm a red.
You're a red. So growing up, did you play many sports? Like before that, were you kind of sporty before? Did you play?
Yeah, I've always been football? A sporty person. Like I've always been into my football, like swimming, stuff like that. And when I was in the army, I was in a regiment called the King's Troops. So we were like rode horses there and like did a lot of guard duties and stuff like that. So I've always been like actively doing something, never just sitting around type.
So being in the army, did that teach you stuff which helps you towards a career in martial arts, like discipline and hard work?
Yeah, for sure. It definitely like the army changed me, like definitely for the better. It made me very domesticated and like, as you say, like disciplined and stuff like that. So yeah, it was a tough time, but it was definitely a good time.
Were you a big boxing or MMA fan growing up? Because obviously Liverpool in the UK, as we know, you know, is a big, big boxing city.
Yeah. Boxing I've always followed, like, as I've been growing up, you know, known the main boxers coming from by Liverpool and stuff like that. So I've always followed and liked MMA and boxing, them type of sports. So, yeah, it's always been an interest of mine.
So you moved to Sweden, and then what makes you walk into the MMA gym for the first time?
Just because, like, it was a total fresh start for me, so I wanted to, like, I didn't have any friends or nothing there, stuff like that, so I just started doing jiu-jitsu, and then I was doing Muay Thai at the same time, so I was just, like, double classing for, like, 6 days a week, solid for nearly 2 years. And then I was just hooked on that type of thing. Then I wanted to move over to MMA. Moved over to MMA. Then I did my first Pro Rules K1 fight, which was my first ever like full contact. And then I went over to Lethway, fought in Lethway. And then I did the bare-knuckle. And then I went over to the bare-knuckle boxing side.
And the gym is where you met your now wife?
Yeah, exactly. So the first gym that I was training in, she was also training in. So she used to batter me a lot in sparring because at that point she had like 10 years on me fighting. So, and that just started. So it's pretty cool actually that she's seen me from scratch and now sees like where we're at together. So it's pretty cool.
So how was that, you know, getting beaten up by a girl essentially, you know, like when you first started?
I didn't mind, you know, because she's so tough. So I had no argument with it. Like, I didn't feel embarrassed. She was very good back then. So I didn't mind, but them days have gone now. Now I do. I'd be there up and sparring.
How did you actually propose to her? Because I saw a picture when I was, you know, preparing for the interview, and there was a picture of your dog.
No, it had nothing to do with my dog, actually, the proposal. I proposed, like, she owns, like a country house, so I proposed out in the country house down there.
The reason I say that is because the picture isn't on your Instagram with the picture of a dog with it saying, like, will you marry daddy or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that come with the with the ring at a country house. So our dog was our firstborn child. So he's that's why we used him like that. We love our dog.
So your first fight in combat sports was in K1, and you actually, I think I'm right in saying, you actually just saw that advertised on Facebook, was it?
Yeah, Facebook. So. I seen something on Facebook. I competed as well in Sweden before that, but only at amateur level and I was only starting off, so low level events. And then that was my first ever full contact, and I just contacted them through Facebook. And the guy that I was going to fight was unbeaten in bare knuckle boxing. And he'd never been out of the first round in like five fights because he'd always finished them. And I wanted to do, he wanted to fight K1. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. Let's give it a go. So first ever full contact fight. And we went the full five rounds. I was like super happy. It's the first time I'd ever gone that long, full contact. So yeah, it was a massive jump for me. And since then, I would never go back to any like skin guards, helmets or nothing like that.
So how long was the time from walking through the gym for the first time to that first fight?
Maybe like 1.5 years, something like that. Do my first like Muay Thai fight or something. Then I did like 5 Muay Thai, 3-4 MMA, and then I went over to the full contact in K1.
And what made you decide that, you know, you wanted to compete? What was the ultimate goal?
You know, I never had a goal at the start. And then when I did start, like when after my first K1, all I wanted to do was fight on a show where I had a walkout song. And that was like my goal. Mm. And like, even now, I don't really have a goal. I'm just like, I love to fight. That's what I love to do. And like, it's almost surreal, like actually the journey that I'm on and how far me and my wife have come together and like where the event we're fighting on now. So my goals are like, so I'm so past any of my goals that I ever had at the start. Everything now is just like a bonus to me, and I love every minute of it.
How do you think you've changed as a person since you started in martial arts?
I'm a lot more like I'm a lot more like happy in myself. Like I'm very like content in like where I am in life and what I'm doing. Like because when I moved away from England, I moved away for like a number of issues that I was having back then. And that was like going out partying too much, fighting too much and just getting into trouble. So I nearly lost everything when I was back in England. So I was literally at the bottom of like the barrel at that point, and now to where I am now, it's just that's why I'm so happy about where I am in my life and what I'm doing, because I've come from like such a low point in my life and I completely changed it around through like hard work, and like it's just I couldn't be happier really.
So early in your career you went 0-3, and then you took the big step to actually go out and do King of the Streets.
Yeah.
How did you find out about King of the Streets?
Yeah, so I was looking online, like just on flipping through Instagram, and then I come through like this, like the Instagram page, and then I wanted to apply, so I started messaging them. They give me like a place to send my application, and then I got matched, and then. At that point I didn't tell anybody that I was going to fight. It was something I really needed to do for myself, And so my wife was pregnant at the time, and just me and my wife went down and I fought on that fight. Won that first fight, and then just like carried on going like forward from there. Just like I've never felt like so that I'm supposed to be in a place more than in King of the Streets. Like everything that I'd done in the past, like through training, different sports that I'd done, I felt like it just come to that point, you know, and that's what I was supposed to be fighting in. So COTS for me is like home.
For people that are listening to this that may not know what King of the Streets is, more familiar with boxing and MMA, just give us a quick, you know, dummy's guide on King of the Streets.
Yeah, so King of the Streets is it's not a sport for anybody that thinks it's a sport. It's an underground fight club, so it's illegal. There is no rules. There is no rounds. So there's no time limit. So anything goes. The only thing you can't do is like grab somebody's head and start smashing it on the floor, stuff like that. But as for everything else, it goes.
Like headbutts, eye gouges.
Headbutts, elbows, kicks to the balls, bites, eye gouge. Yeah, that everything goes.
And the venue is not decided till the last minute, right, Liam?
Yeah, so they have like they have a venue, and if it goes wrong with that, they have a plan B as well. But nobody knows about the venue till the morning of, because fighters like to put it on their Instagram, you know, and everybody always, somebody would slip up. So it gets kept a secret until like the last minute, basically.
So you reach out to King of the Streets, you go out there, you're fighting Yordi, who's a Cologne hooligan.
Exactly.
This is a make or break fight for you, because you've gone 0-3 at the time. And obviously I'm sure you're wondering to yourself, you know, is this really for me?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the reason why I didn't tell anybody about it. And I really wanted to know whether I was like, I did have that like fire in me, because them fights before, I was like struggling to, I was a slow starter back then. And like, I was struggling to like get back into it. And I knew if I was going into the bare knuckle side, something needed to change drastically, you know, because you can get hurt there. So for the King of the Streets, it meant, yeah, it was a big turning point for me, like whether I was going to just continue, because I was started so late in my life as well. So I didn't want to be like, oh, this is a stupid thing to do. Like, I'm just going to just lose in fights and just doing it because I like fighting. I'm not that type of person. So I'm not stupid about it. I'm very aware of like if I shouldn't be doing it, if I should be doing it. So that point, it really like, it really helped my life and the direction my career went in after that.
Did that bring added pressure then? The fact that you were kind of thinking that, because you're very calm and you can't tell, you know, when you watch the fight, you don't look like there's any added pressure.
Yeah, I just like, I loved every minute of that. Like, the events back then were like a lot different to they are now as well, but they would have like, some fights would have like 15 fights on there, you know what I mean? And like, they were in like the sickest venues, like old abandoned warehouses, graffiti everywhere, just full of football hooligans. So that whole process, like being there and being around them people for the first time, was like so amazing to me. Like, I loved it. It was obviously very nerve-wracking, the first fight especially, but after that, it was just I knew I was supposed to be there.
How does it make you feel when you see that there's 1.1 million people have viewed that fight?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I think my last fight, even more people have viewed that one. In total, all four fights have got over 4 million views. So it's just bonkers, man. It's crazy. The amount of, like, every week I get a new video of the last fight with different music, and, like, it's just went from people from America, people from all over the world, like, messaging me, like, about that video. So it's just, I can't believe it. It's crazy.
So how did you celebrate that first victory?
We went out and partied in Sweden, actually, afterwards. We always do that. We like to work hard and then we party hard afterwards. That's what we like to do. I like to keep a balance in my life. I'm not like, I work a full-time job. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I don't do fighting as a full-time job. So I like to have a balance. I need that, because if I'm working, being a dad, being a husband, or everything else that life brings, like stressful, I need to have something else, like another outlet. So fighting helps me a lot, but also I like to live my life as well, you know.
You touched on one of the questions I was going to follow up on. What do you do for work full time?
I'm a carpenter.
And how do people look at MMA and especially, you know, King of the Streets in Sweden? Is it as popular as the US and the UK?
Like in my trade that I'm doing, like the builders, you know, they love that type of stuff. You know what I mean? But I think as Sweden as a whole, there's a lot of rules in Sweden. So I know for a fact, like, I could not compete anywhere now in Sweden, even if I wanted to, because I've fought on King of the Streets. I knew that was going to happen going into fighting in King of the Streets, but I didn't care because I was going to fight in England anyway. And over there in England now, like, King of the Streets gets announced in most places, like something to be proud of on my record, you know. So I like that, and like, I'm super proud of what I've done with King of the Streets.
I think I saw, didn't some of the bare knuckle have now banned people who compete in King of the Streets?
Yeah, so the BKB TM, like, that's an English organization. They banned people fighting on their show, and Spartan Wars, which is hay bales, which is also an English event, have also banned the fighters. I'll just touch on that a little bit, because I just think it's bizarre that they would do that, because I heard one of the promoters from that show who banned the fighters, is that his reason was that if you fight somebody somewhere where there's no rules, that they can't take the chance of them us not sticking to their rules when we fight on their show. I mean, that's just absolutely stupidest thing I've ever heard. It's like me, I come from King of the Streets, Muay Thai, MMA and everything, and it's like me saying, you can't fight on my show doing bare-knuckle boxing in case you kick somebody in the face. I mean, it's just fucking stupid in my eyes, but each to their own. I know it's like Marmite, King of the Streets. People love it or they hate it, and they don't like it, but we don't care about them anyway. So none of us fight on their shows anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I saw you said in a previous interview that in a lot of your fights, you can tell you're going to win from the stare down.
Yeah, it's important, the stare down. After that first fight, the stare down I knew was everything, because I was trying to control myself so much, and I hated that feeling, like trying to stop my legs shake, like trying to act like I'm being tough. But after that, I really did create that thing where I can control that, every part of what I'm feeling before a fight, and I look straight through that facade that people try and put up, and I know, especially if it's their first fight on cards, that they're shitting themselves. So I can see that, like, straight through them. And like, what helps for me is, like, I'm part of Hype Crew. I feel like COTS is my home. So it's just like, it's my place, basically. So I will never feel intimidated by anybody who I fight on King of the Streets.
So for people that don't know, Hype Crew is like a team.
Yeah, it's like a firm that, like, they train to fight. They do fight other hooligan firms, but they're not affiliated to any football club. So now they're not as active as they used to be, but they are, they're what running King of the Streets, basically.
Do you feel that there's any type of MMA or any type of skills that come from somewhere else that work in King of the Streets? Or do you think even if you've got that prior experience, you kind of all just started at day one? Because it's very different.
Like, some people transition over to, it's not just the King of the Streets, it's bare knuckle in general. I think, like, some people transition over to, like, the bare knuckle side very well, but like, some people don't as well. There is a big difference from boxing to bare knuckle boxing. It's a completely different sport. So, you know, I've seen people who come to COTS and with like over 100 something professional fights in Muay Thai or K1. And they'll fight somebody who's about that life, like who's got some sort of MMA training, but not been doing it professionally. And he will just destroy this guy in there, because it's completely different. Like my last fight, he was a professional MMA fighter, high level wrestler. you would think in normal circumstances, MMA would just take me down straight away. But on King of the Street, it's a concrete floor. There's a lot to think about. If you miss that takedown, like, it's lethal for you. So it makes people think twice about what they're doing. So it's, you need to adapt it all, you know. Like, I've never been into one sport when I've been training, like the little, like, amateurs that I've done. But I've took apart from each martial arts that I've been training, and I've put it all, which has made how I fight in cuts. And I think that's, like, it's important to know it all. If you want to do, like, well long-term in cuts especially, you need to be an all-round fighter. You can, being a boxer is only going to get you so far. Then you're going to have to fight that person in your weight class who's an MMA fighter. Like, you need to do that, you know what I mean? Although we try and match them, like, stand-up to stand-up or so on, eventually you're going to have to fight the best, which is probably going to be an all-round fighter. So I think it's important, and I really, like, try and keep that with me, like, being an all-round fighter. I love it all, so.
How do you train for the bare knuckle? It's just small gloves, no gloves?
I don't wear gloves at all. My hands are, like, I'm so lucky. My wife as well, she also, when I was training for my left leg, so I took my gloves off to train and doing pads and stuff. I've never put gloves on since then to train for bare knuckle. So I'm super lucky. I know professional bare knuckle boxers, some of them they need to wrap their hands really well and stuff like that, you know what I mean? But I'm lucky. I can train without gloves, just with some tape. And I can even fight without any hand wraps on. It doesn't bother me at all. So
just genetics?
Genetics, yeah. I'm lucky, man. And my wife has got the same. But I feel it helps a lot, you know. Of course, you want to train as real as you can to the fight, which is like having no gloves on when you're doing pads and stuff like that. It all helps with the distance and how you punch correctly and stuff like that. And that helps me with not getting injuries. I've had my now 10th bare knuckle fight, my last one. I have never had an injury once on my hand, not even a bruise. So it's doing something right.
Do you think that the reason that some boxers struggle with the transition is because they're so used to wearing the padded glove where they can catch, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah, it's definitely plays a big part, you know, like the distance and like taking punches like this, like with gloves on, is completely different from the bare knuckle. So, yeah, it's a big difference, you know.
Any drug testing in bare knuckle or King of the Streets?
No. A lot of people will be failing some steroid things, I think, otherwise.
Obviously, that's big now in the UK, you know, due to Conor Benn. Is that something that you worry about, going in and competing against somebody who's, you know, juiced up?
It doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't bother me. Like, I don't think somebody's going to have that edge on me to, like, it's going to give them that much of an edge to win over me. If that person's going to win, it's not going to be because of steroids. It's going to be because they're better than me in my eyes. I don't think steroids is going to, like, give them that much of a gap to beat me. If we were close before, then I'd understand. But it doesn't bother me at all. People can do what they want.
So, like we touched on earlier, your wife fights. Do you get more nervous for your fights, or do you get more nervous watching her fight?
No, I get more nervous for her fighting. But also, I don't get too nervous about the whole fighting thing at all, because for one, we fight on the same card a lot, so she's always the one to go first, because she would not be able to, like, function properly if something happened to me before. So she always fights before me, and I can hold it together to go out and fight afterwards as well. So if something happened to her, it wouldn't affect me in much, you know. Not that I don't care about it in the same way, but it wouldn't affect me in the same way. I could still go out and do my job in the ring, so that's why we like to keep it that way.
And is she any closer to being the first female to compete in King of the Streets?
I think them days are gone now. I think at the time she did apply and she did search for someone to fight on King of the Streets, but I don't think she would fight on there now. I think this is like, this BKFC side was a lot like to do with her, why I wanted to go to BKFC, and it's because she's been in a fight camp for so long, watching me be very active fight and like get like my build a name for myself. And she's just sort of stayed in the background, like helping me out all the time along the way, but also been dying to fight herself. So it's been really hard for her to like not being able to fight, and not because she doesn't want to, it's because of the matchups. So one of the main points to go to BKFC was for Matilda, because it has the biggest female group of fighters there, and that I wanted to have like that choice of being able to get matched as often as she can.
What's a typical, like, you know, training week for you? You know, you having to get up, go to work, go to the gym, home.
Yeah, so Monday to Friday we will I'll work usually Monday to Friday. Then we will normally just go straight to the gym, pick up our kid, and then go straight to the gym, all of us, because I really struggle to find, if I go home and I sit down for 5 minutes, that's it, I'm not getting back up. So we try and just like bite the bullet, go straight to the gym, get it done, and then come back. Training camp is hard. Like, there's a lot of late nights. There's a lot of there's no scheduling, like with our son and stuff, where we like sit him down at a certain time and eat, and we don't do that ourselves. So we just do what we make it work. You know what I mean? So
it works. So anyway.
Yeah, so
and work are good, giving you the time off to.
Yeah, work have been really good. Yeah, so I normally like try and stick with a job that like I know the person, you know, because I feel like in the past when I've been at jobs that don't really understand or not into fighting at all or don't understand what I do, it's a lot harder for them to be okay with the time off and stuff. So I've been lucky, man, and my past few jobs have just been super cool. They know me before, so they're happy to give me the time off and stuff.
Who would you say is your biggest inspiration?
I'm not sure. I don't like have any like role models, I'll be honest. Like, my dad was like a biggest part in that, but nothing to do with martial arts, just the way he was as a man. He was like, he's always taught me like to be very polite, like always have your manners, always treat women right. And he never ever shouted at me ever when I was a child. So now I've got my own kid, I really try and live by like how he was. So nothing to do with martial arts, but it's probably the only like role model I've had and that I look up to for sure.
Is there any fighters now that you enjoy watching?
Yeah, I love watching Palomino at the moment. Like, I think he's the prime example of like being such an all-round fighter, and he's at the best. He defended it against everybody. He's like very legitimized, you know what I mean? So like, obviously for him, he's at the top of the game. But there's a few other fighters that I like to watch. Like now coming up, like we're fighting on the same shows in the UK. We've been around the same names before we got onto BKFC as well. So like Danny Christie, Darren Hendry, Connor Tierney.
Mm-hmm.
They're all lads that I like to watch, like, and like they're part of my team now as well. We're managed by the same people, so I love to watch them guys. And but Palomino for me is one that I've watched before I ever knew about these guys. You know what I mean?
What would be the dream fight for you?
I don't have a dream fight, I'll be honest. Like, I've not been one for like, I don't like calling people out unless they've done something or said something to me personally. Then I just say, let's fight, because I hate the shit talking. I hate the bad mouthing. I just like to fight. If we have a problem, we just let the fight and do the talking. That's it. Right now, I'm just going to sit in my lane and I'm in no rush to go where we're going. So I'll just sit on my lane, take our time, and we'll end up where we end up.
Do you have like a bucket list of things that you'd like to achieve in the sport? Like fighting in America, fighting in Liverpool?
Like, honestly, I've already achieved like a bucket list from my fighting. Like, as I said before, I didn't have any goals with fighting at all when it first started. So now what we're doing is just we're literally living our dream life, you know what I mean? And especially now that we've got to BKFC, which is the biggest platform, and we're doing it together as a couple. Every single show, every single time, like, we're fucking ticking so many boxes that we wouldn't even have known to put in our bucket list, you know what I mean? Like, a few years ago, that this was like, you would be crazy to even mention what we're doing now. So for me, like, we're just living our bucket list life at the moment. So super cool. But
when you first saw Bare Knuckle, did you expect it to explode like it has and get as big as it has?
No. Like, I know that, like, when I first saw it, I didn't think it would actually take off like it did, just because I know, like, a lot of people see it misunderstood, as you said earlier, because it's very bloody and stuff like that, and people think it's brutal. But I really do feel like it's exploded even since I've started, and it's definitely going in the right direction, you know, and I'm super happy to be a part of it while we're in this point in Bare Knuckle.
I think we were kind of talking about it before we recorded, but a lot of people seem to think that, you know, Bare Knuckle is probably safer than boxing due to the fact you're not taking the sustained beating. Obviously, you've competed in many different forms. What do you think?
Yeah, 100% agree. Like, that is one thing that I try and, like, educate people on, is that, like, to look at Bare Knuckle from an outside point of view, to see how people end up after a fight with the blood and the swelling and stuff like that. It does look brutal, you know what I mean? It does look like a lot worse, but I can tell you now, boxing, doing 12 rounds at a high level, and especially if you're losing a fight, to take how many punches they throw in 12 rounds to the head is a lot more permanent and severe damage than what cuts are. Like, I was cut a bit a week ago. I had two black eyes, and now I'm back to normal, and the fight was over in less than 2 minutes. So they're doing like 12 two-minute rounds, getting punched in the head constantly. It's not good at all.
So, Liam, away from fighting, who is Liam Wilson? What's your favourite movie?
Gladiator's got to be an all-time favourite, for sure.
How about favourite TV series?
Spartacus. I love that one as well.
Favourite cheat meal?
You know, I have so many cheat meals that they're not called cheat meals anymore, so I eat what I want, unless I'm in fight camp. Like, then I'll have some sweets or something like that, but not really a cheat meal. And I normally eat what I want up until when I have to.
And what's your favorite sport overall?
I love Bare Knuckle Boxing now. Like, now I'm part of it, and I've been watching it as well. I used to follow UFC a lot before, but I just think this is like, it's a lot more real, it's a lot more raw, and now I'm part of it. I have to, it has to be my favourite sport, I suppose.
So what's next for Liam Wilson?
So next, like, I actually have a fight on the 15th of January, which I'm going to fight in Austria. It's boxing with MMA gloves in an open weight class, 8-man tournament. So I just took that fight just because I've never been to Austria before. You get paid if you, like, the prize money is really good. So the weight never bothers me. I mean, the way I see it is, if I was going to fight somebody on the street, I'd never stop and ask them what their weight is. So something like this, when the prize money was so high, I thought, fuck it, just give it a go. So that's next. And then for BKFC wise, like, our next dream is hopefully in April. There talks about having it in Liverpool. So I definitely would. I want that. But after Liverpool, America's on our list for sure.
Yeah, we were talking about it just before we pressed record. So hopefully, you know, I'm hoping that like Vegas or California will, you know, make it legal so you can get out to, you know, to the West Coast, because at the minute it's mainly Florida, the East Coast, and like New Mexico seem to be the usual hitting spots for Ben.
Yeah, man, that would be awesome if that happens. And I think the way things are going, I don't see why not. So I just think in time for sure.
So Liam, what would you tell somebody that wants to follow in your footsteps?
Just stay consistent. That's been my thing. I used to get very bored of like things, you know what I mean? Like I'll do things fully committed for the year and then I'll be bored of it. But like just staying consistent in what you do. Like we always train. Like in a week we'll always train. We'll always do something, you know what I mean? Like don't leave it too late. Like, oh, I'll train after a week, because it just gets harder and harder to get into it. So and I started late in what I'm doing, so if you're around my age and want thinking of doing the same, it is possible.
And take that risk, you know?
Exactly, man. You've just got to have the balls to give it a go, you know, just throw yourself in the deep end. That's exactly what I've done, and it's worked out well for me, so.
And moving to another country, you know, there's not many people that do like I did, and what you did.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, they just stay with that home comfort.
Exactly. Your life begins outside your comfort zone. That's what I heard once before. So I definitely live by that. And like I moved away as well. So ever since I did that, everything just started going up and up for me. So.
Well, Liam, just tell everybody where they can find you, all your social media handles, YouTube pages, anything you have, any businesses.
Yeah, so Instagram, it's Liam W Hype, and we also have a bare knuckle couple on Instagram. I'm not on Facebook that much, so I don't really use it, but Instagram's the one, man.
And we are at TLRMMA on Instagram and Twitter, and catch us next time. This is The Last Round.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Last Round MMA Podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and interviews. In the meantime, follow the Last Round MMA on Twitter and Instagram at TLRMMA.